6:03 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker, and we've got, with all due respect, coming up in a moment, you can send your text in to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to, with all due respect, a woman in England put her neighborhood into a frenzy after she noticed some odd markings outside her home. After noticing them, she went to her neighbor's Facebook account and posted this message. Probably nothing or something stupid, but I walked outside of my house on Bolton Road West to find this chalk marking. No other markings anywhere else, just here. Just thought it was very random. The post also included a photo of a chalk circle with a line through it. That's when people lost their minds. Here are some of the responses. Quote, I live in Norfolk and we are having lots of dog thefts. They leave a mark outside of a house that has dogs. Another one, I saw something that not that long ago about stone marks left being outside people's houses on the walls to tell other thieves that vulnerable people live there. The police put a post up. Finally, the truth came out. One mom posted a picture of her sidewalk filled with the same markings. It read, my son was given chalk in school, and on the way home, he took to drawing bums every 20 yards. Sorry, he's not quite mastered the art of drawing a butt yet, but he's getting there. It was just a kid drawing a butt.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why are this kid's parents giving him chalk to draw butts everywhere?
The school gave him the chalk.
Why is he being allowed to draw butts wherever he wants on his way home?
He shouldn't be.
Should he draw the butts then?
Maybe his mom should step in and spank that butt and get it going. But I'm glad that people aren't stealing dogs. That's good.
Yeah, no dog.
And all the other stuff, whatever. But
chalk
the dogs especially.
Off.
Might have seen it last night. Kyle Schwarber hits a walk-off 10th inning homer, his 21st of the season, to give the Cubs a win over the Reds. Waiting to catch the home run ball were two young fans, but an arm reached out and snatched it just inches from where they stood. Not quite understanding the optics, the guy then proudly held it up as cameras panned in on him and kept the ball. With all due respect, it's a Cub fan. What do we expect?
I don't know. The one Cub fan didn't even want the ball. And he got ridiculed forever.
Yes,
so what
did.
Are they going to do with this guy?
He tried
guy?
To catch it.
Yeah, but he didn't really want it.
He was going to give it to a kid, probably.
He was trying to save himself. He's not incredibly athletic. Yeah, this guy, real not a great move.
No.
Bad look.
Is he worse than the happy youngster guy? That's the dude who goes around ballparks all over the country. And
oh, no. Not worse than that
no,
guy.
No, yeah. That's terrible.
He is the worst
that guy's
in the world.
Awful. Yep, I agree with that. Do you guys remember a few years back when David Price and Dennis Eckersley
yes.
got into it on the plane ride? I mean, they've had some beef. Well, that beef has resurfaced yet again. Look, David Price, apparently at the time, a couple of years ago, David Price had a meeting set up with Eck. He got to the ballpark a couple of hours early, and David was going to apologize for the way that he handled the situation. Apparently an hour and a half into it, he was told that Eck wasn't going to be there, and he didn't show up. Well, all this stuff is resurfacing yet again. David Price said Eck is trash and he just wants to talk about himself and bring up things that he did 30 years ago. With all due respect, we need a celebrity death match. That's what we need. These guys need to fight.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yep. Let's box.
That'd be much better.
That's what I want to see out of these two. A lot of back and forth. That is so random. First of all, I would think as an organization, how can you let that happen? How can you have one of your stars and one of your TV guys just feud, just going at it? It's crazy.
It's amazing that nobody has, like, ownership has not stepped in better. Maybe they have already. I don't know.
It's not working.
Yeah, whatever it is certainly not working.
BT, have you gotten into it with any Cardinal players
yet? No, not yet. I'm tried would not like to, really. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big confrontation guy.
Do you guys remember Kent Merker?
Yeah. We pitched here.
Okay. I'm trying to remember exactly, but I think at a time probably 14 years ago or so, 15, he was not happy with the Cubs broadcast booth as they were criticizing the team
that
was bad. I think he went up there.
Yeah.
And somebody else did it. One of the Kansas City Royals did it, right?
Oh, well, that was nutty, though. That was at
Ryan LaFever, right?
Yeah, it was Milton Bradley, though.
Oh, yeah. That guy is... dead or alive, Milton Bradley.
Oh, he's alive. I'm pretty sure. He was having his knee surgery done right before I had my Tommy John. I was pushed back a little bit for Milton's knee to get fixed.
Oh,
was that
man.
The knee that he tore up when he got into it with the umpire?
Not sure. Not sure.
Tore up his knee in an argument with an umpire.
Would have been in 2010. I had the surgery, I think.
I think that was it, yeah.
Yeah.
In Kalamazoo, Michigan, there's a baseball team, a minor league team, called the Kalamazoo Growlers. And for some reason, they have a six-year-old coach. Or maybe it was just for the day. Whatever. There's a pretty funny video of the kid. His name is Coach Drake. And he went out to argue with the umpire, kicked dirt on the umpire, got ejected, went back into the dugout, grabbed a bunch of bats, threw them on the field, and then went and got a bucket of baseballs and then dumped those on the field as well. With all due respect to the rest of Major League Baseball, I think each team should have a six-year-old manager.
It's not a bad idea. I like
it
that.
It would make ejections a whole lot more fun.
I'm into that. I think everybody should have a bat dog as well. The Las Vegas
yes.
Aviators have a bat dog.
And remember the
umpire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Real jerk.
This was from a few weeks ago. The dog was going out to retrieve the bat, and the umpire bent over, picked up the bat, and threw it away from the dog.
Yeah. Did you see that rookie, the Trenton Thunder's Golden Retriever, got called up by the Yankees last night?
Did he really?
He
nice.
Got to do the Yankee
Good
game.
Good
yeah.
for him. Did you see that the Golden Knights have a dog as well, by the way?
Oh, did they?
They jumped on. Yeah, they have Bark Andre Fleury.
That's solid.
It's pretty adorable.
That's really solid.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
With all due respect, I've never seen more empty seats at Busch 3.
It's 6 o'clock and it's raining.
And there's no game.
Yeah, what the hell do you expect? You think people are just going to pack it in and have some fun here on a nightcap and the team's not going to show up for 10 more days?
Hey, guys, just a question. Do you think maybe he was talking about earlier in the day when the game was going on?
Just reading stuff as it was written.
Written.
You know?
I don't know.
Well,
also,
if that's
it was hot
the case,
as hell today.
Well, then it was a 12 o'clock game on a Wednesday.
It was 94 degrees, 95 degrees with a heat indices of 105.
85% of the world goes to work.
Another 15% come here. It's our blanket playground.
My ass.
With all due respect, the Reds will be ready for a war in Cincinnati.
A war.
A war.
I wonder how their war is. You know, they're missing Tucker Barnhart right now.
Yeah.
What's it good for?
Absolutely nothing, Meat.
What is Skyline Chili's wins above replacement?
Vomit.
It's got to be negative .1, probably.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If you, and Ron, you're a war guy, if wins above replacement are wins like above the average replacement player, right? And you're 500, should your team war be zero?
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm just thinking that should be the case.
Maybe it is.
I don't know if that's the rule.
If that were an SAT question and one of my answers were zero, I'd go with zero.
I would too. Yeah.
I didn't do
well,
so hot on
the average,
SAT.
Right?
Well, considering there's negative war, then yeah probably.
Your group of players should equate to zero if you're a 500 team.
With all due respect to any chip flavor ever before, Schnucks is better at your flavors.
Schnucks has awesome chips.
I will take your word on it.
They're
I need to try some.
Tremendous.
I believe you.
Yeah, and they're only a buck. Your local Schnucks location. They have great ice cream, too.
You know what else they have?
What?
101 ESPN bourbon from Ezra Brooks.
You betcha they do.
Bourbon.
And with all due respect, any ranking of shows that does not have the Fastlane as number one means absolutely nothing to me.
Is there another ranking?
That's what I like to hear.
Appreciate that.
I think
that's
we were number
nice.
One in the St. Louis Magazine top sports
oh, yeah.
show.
The A-list
yeah.
or A-list.
A-list, yeah.
I think it was A-list.
We made a list.
We made a list.
They
the St. Louis A-list.
They send me emails saying that I can get like a certificate that we were number one.
What?
Yeah.
Why do you get
we
that
have
email?
One, guys. Should we get it?
I
we
still
it.
Get I get emails all the time from that it's something like Talkers
when
magazine
we finish
or
16th
something.
Or something.
Yeah, and it's like you better buy your commemorative plaque to tell everybody you're a top 100 talker.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't y'all give me something if we win?
Yeah, we
win. Why do I have to tell people?
Exactly.
I spent $100
yeah.
to pat myself on the back.
And when we did win something and wanted to put it in the trophy case up front, they wouldn't let us.
It was Pickles we won at the Adam Wainwright karaoke
yeah.
challenge.
And they wouldn't Pickles. Let us put it in the trophy case up
nope.
front.
And it was a nice jar.
I thought it looked great. was fantastic.
I can't believe people are so down on accomplishments.
We should revisit that. Because there are a lot of nice-looking awards up there, but that jar of pickles would really bring it home.
Classy.
Guys, there's a thing we didn't talk about from a couple of days ago. Hmm. Ken Campbell, who writes for the Hockey News.
Yeah.
Did you see this tweet?
I did.
Is it the whole, then he wrote the story doubling up on it? Is that him?
His tweet is, I'm sure the next guy from the St. Louis Blues who gets the Stanley Cup will be thrilled that Robbie Fabry's dogs were eating spaghetti and meatballs out of it on Monday. It amazes how the NHL allows, nay, condones, players treating the cup like it's a dog bowl.
Yeah, he wrote a whole big piece on it. It's get off my
lawn. I responded.
Yeah, Randy said, why do you hate dogs? It was awesome.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did he respond to you?
No, but a lot of people liked it.
With all due respect, I believe people have had intercourse with a cup.
Yeah, he said that's not cool either, though. I mean, he wasn't just he's not totally anti-dog. He's no fun, sir.
Oh, man.
He wants that cup just to stay at the Hall of Fame in Toronto, eh? So that's the way it is. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Hey, if teams are looking to move starting pitchers, Buster Olney says they need to move quickly. That's next on 101 ESPN. Buster Olney has a piece up at ESPN.com and says that the teams that could be interested in a starter are, among the desperate teams, the Astros, Yankees, Twins, and Brewers. And if the right deal comes up, the Cardinals, Angels, Rays, and Phillies. I think the Cardinals need a starting pitcher. I wouldn't say that they have a desperate need simply because of where they are in the standings. The Astros are going to be a playoff team. The Yankees are going to be a playoff team. The Twins are going to be a playoff team. And the Brewers just
need a starter.
Yeah, who do they have? right?
Yeah, they got a couple of guys off the top of the rotation that have thrown the ball well for them. But to answer that question of who would you pitch in one game, I don't know if they have the answer. Now, in fairness, I don't know if the Cardinals have the answer to that same question, but I don't think that I would put them in the desperate need category. But what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 teams that are in the market for starting pitching. And that's not just starting pitching, all right? It's not just a guy that takes the ball and that's his role as a starter. No, those are 8 teams that if they're going to acquire a starter, they need guys, all right? Like, they need real deal, legit, bona fide starters. And I don't think that there's 8 of those guys on the market that are going to be available. So that's what Buster Olney is talking about. If you want them, you better leap.
And let me give you the names of the players that he lists as perhaps being available. Trevor Bauer, the price there would be exorbitant from the Indians. Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays. Robbie Ray of the Diamondbacks. And they were in town last week, and they still think that they're in the playoff hunt. Madison Bumgarner, Matthew Boyd of the Tigers, who will also be expensive. 3 years of control left for Matthew Boyd. Aaron Sanchez of the Blue Jays.
I think.
Sanchez?
Sanchez? S-A-N-C-H-E?
Where's Sanchez? What is that
or
from?
Or Sanch. Maybe it's Sanch. It's French.
Sanchez.
Oh, you know what?
This might
be a meetup.
What?
Could it be Aaron Sanchez?
That's the guy, the starter.
Yeah, okay. That
good
makes
combo.
Sense.
Yep. And then Zach Wheeler of the Mets, along with Zach Greinke, who, once again, kind of like Robbie Ray, they kind of fancy themselves as contenders, and Caleb Smith of the Marlins, who's having a good season. But not all of those guys will get moved, and some of those people are going to be unbelievably expensive to get.
So who are guys on that list that you believe for sure will get moved? Just quick eyeball test
Stroman.
To me. That's like the guy that you know is going to get moved. Caleb Smith makes sense just because the Marlins will just be able to add more people and more depth to it, even though they desperately need some starting pitching. But there's nobody else really on there. And Zach Wheeler, if he proves that he's healthy, and reports are that he's probably going to be good to go by the trade deadline. But other than that,
I would say Boyd, too, with Detroit.
But they're going to ask for a lot for him with all the control that they have. So who knows who's going to pony up. But you also don't know how desperate, I guess, the Tigers might get to just get some sort of influx of prospects.
Which I think I would do if I'm them. I'm not sure how long it's going to be before they're actually a competitive team. But the name that is still interesting to me is Bauer with Cleveland. And I know there's this idea they need to get something for him, but the Indians are still a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. They still have an opportunity of getting to the playoffs, and that's the kind of team that if they get in, I would think they're pretty dangerous. They're the kind of club that you don't really want to have to deal with, especially if they get hot at the end of the year and carry that in. That's a They should be better than they are right now. Let's just put it that way. So I'm not sure they want to subtract from what they've got.
Doesn't that look like a Yankees deal to you? A franchise that has a lot of good young players. What the Indians will want back is control. And the Yankees can offer control. And Bauer next year, they could keep him after next year. That just seems to me like a deal that the Yankees would make. And I know they traded their best young pitcher in the Paxton deal, but they've got a lot of good young pitchers.
Yeah, they could definitely end up being a fit. And the Yankees, a team, as you mentioned, they're ready to win right now. And that's the hard part if you're an organization that is going to make a deal that's going to hurt when it comes to, you know, kind of depleting your farm system, is you better be sure that it's going to happen this year, or at the very least, like next year, you still have great faith in your squad that you're going to be bringing, because Bauer does have that one more year available. But if you're the Indians, it better be a perfect deal.
Right.
It better be a great one, because right to your point, I believe that the Indians are talented enough to make a run.
Absolutely.
I still think that the Indians, even though it hasn't come out to be this season, I think that if there were a series in the postseason where it were the Indians against the Twins, I think I'm siding on the Indians.
I totally agree
with
you.
So I don't know if I'd want to subtract from that either.
And for Cleveland, this is a team that we forget just a year ago had a double-digit lead in their division for how many months? I mean, like, they knew they were going to win the division for half the season, and nobody was close to what they were. And for whatever reason, it just hadn't worked out so far this year, but they've got the potential for that. That's why I would think they'd want to hang on to Bauer, and I know they've kind of been floating that out there for a long time, but it just doesn't seem to make a ton of sense for them, especially for a team that I feel like the organization not having won in, like, forever, I think they would want to try to give it the best opportunity they've got now while they still have a pretty good team.
I'm interested to see what Houston does with their need, because they've really seen a major drop-off in the quality of starting pitching that they've been getting. I'll be interested to see where they go to get that guy. And by the way, Bauer is the guy that a couple of years ago said that he'd like to get to Cleveland to see how they're cheating to improve their spin rate. And so I don't know.
Could be a good time. Maybe that'd be a team said, hey, flip some more prospects. It worked out pretty well for the Astros last year, you know, ended up getting Verlander. And that's been the difference the last couple of years. Every champion in the last handful of years has made a big-time trade. Mm-hmm. And it was 2 years ago with Verlander, obviously. Yeah. Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi was a big trade for Boston last year. 3 years ago, it was Aroldis Chapman that the Cubs ended up making the deal for. Like, these championship teams end up making big moves. Yes, the nucleus of your team is there. Yes, you have depth, and you have a lot of good pieces, but you're missing something. Some champion's going to jump here.
Or sometimes, like in the Cubs' case, maybe they didn't even really need it. Or I know that we said about the Astros that they probably don't make the playoffs and do what they did without Justin Verlander coming in, and I think there's a ton of truth to that. But sometimes these teams already know they're in very good shape and are trying to put themselves even more over the top against all the other teams they know they're going to play in the playoffs.
I hope if the Cardinals make a move for a starter that they improve on the top three in their rotation. I don't think they need 4 and 5 guys. I think they have four and five guys.
Well, that's what we were talking about at the very beginning of the segment, in that this Cardinals team is one of those that doesn't need innings
eaters.
They
don't need Zach Wheeler.
Right. Well, what they need is somebody who can be dominant at the top and somebody who is a candidate to take the ball in game one. If they're to make it to the postseason, that's what they're looking for. That's what they should have at this point, not somebody who can pitch 6 innings just to pitch 6 innings.
So if you had your pick out of all these guys on this list, and let's leave contracts aside, we're just talking about pitchers, and we'll just talk about this is for the year. So you've got Bauer, Stroman, Robbie Ray, Bumgarner, Matthew Boyd, Aaron Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, Zach Greinke, and Caleb Smith. Pick your pony. Who do you want?
I'd take Bauer, I think.
I'd still go Mad Bum, but by a sliver over Greinke. And I know Greinke isn't throwing as hard as he used to, but, man, can he pitch.
She's close for me, too. I think I go Bauer. Then I think I go Robbie Ray.
That's not a bad call.
I go Bauer.
I think I'm right there with you.
Bauer, Ray, Greinke
are
my three. And I know I'm leaving Mad Bum out, and I feel bad about it, but I'll get over it.
It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN, and we're just 2 weeks away now from MLB's trade deadline. Coming up, the British Open starts late tonight, if you want to call
it
that.
Time change.
And we don't know what Tiger Woods is going to do because he doesn't know what he's going to do. That's next on 101 ESPN. That's Tiger Woods. The Open starts tomorrow at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Last time the Open was played there was 68 years ago. Tiger Woods does not know the course. He's only played 10 rounds of competitive golf in 3 months since the Masters. And there are real questions. In fact, Tiger has real questions himself as to whether or not he's going to be competitive this weekend. At the New York Post, Mark Cannizzaro wrote, for the second major championship this year, Woods has opted not to play a warm-up tournament beforehand. The previous time he did it, after winning the Masters in April, that strategy backfired at the PGA Championship in May. Twice in his career, Woods has won major championships when not playing a tournament in between, the 1999 PGA Championship and the 2008 U.S. Open. But when he's admitting that his game isn't as sharp as he'd like it to be, he was in Africa on vacation for a month, he probably is not going to be the normal Tiger Woods that we see.
Yeah, I don't think that anything would shock us out of Tiger Woods just because we've seen so much greatness in him. But one thing that is surprising, just knowing the killer instinct of Tiger, and it's surprising and refreshing at the same time, honestly, is I think that we're seeing Tiger Woods become a human. So Tiger Woods is spending time with his family. He talked about that trip and being able to hang out with his kids and didn't think about golf, didn't touch the golf clubs. He talked about his mother's increasing age and how she probably doesn't have much more time to do trips like this and do things like this. All the things that you might miss having a killer instinct over a career, I think he might be trying to catch up on right now.
Well, I would think so. I mean, you're getting close to the end of that career, and you've made a lot of money doing this. You have an emotional win just a few months ago, one that had everybody in the sports world paying attention. I would not that there's a letdown, but after that happens, how can you ever really be in that place again if you're him?
Paul Azinger of NBC said, I'm never going to count Tiger out of the majors. He's won the Masters. But it felt like it made him too content. It's the most content I've ever seen him. Yeah. Tiger has never looked satisfied. He said, don't get me wrong. He's been happy in the moment, celebrating big shots. But the next day, he's moving on. This Masters, he's not moving on yet. That was such a mountaintop experience. I think it's going to be hard for Tiger to ever win anything again. That was almost like the cherry on top of the cake. That's what it's going to look like, what it feels like. I hope it's not the cherry on top of the cake. I don't either. And there's not many cakes that I like cherry on top of.
I was going to ask that. Do you guys have cherries that you put on top of cakes? Cherries on top of ice cream, isn't
it? Great, yeah. So the whipped cream and then the cherry.
On the cake. Yeah. I mean, what do you... Cake is pretty much self-contained. Oh, the icing is what you put on the cake.
Big Sis points out the pineapple upside-down cake, and he knows his cakes. Apparently, you have it on top of the whipped cream.
Now, that does make sense, but I don't know if
that's what he was thinking. He's right.
So, Tiger, as you might guess, has not been as sharp lately in those rounds since the Masters because he hasn't played as much.
This year, I made a conscious effort to cut back on my schedule to make sure that I don't play too much. I want to play here as long as I possibly can. And you have to understand, if I play a lot, that I won't be out here that long. And so it's understanding how much I can play, prepping how much I do at home and getting ready. And that's the tricky part, is trying to determine how much tournament play I need to get the feel for the shots, and also understanding where my body is.
If you made me make a decision as to whether or not I think Tiger Woods is going to be in Northern Ireland on Sunday morning or in Jupiter, Florida on Sunday morning, I would lean towards Jupiter.
I think he's going to be in Northern Ireland.
Make the cut?
Or it's just a great place for his family to vacation again.
It is nice.
Ireland's beautiful.
He's not going to have to set aside money for it.
No, he should be okay.
You know, I mean, he should be just fine. But I almost liken it to maybe being a player in the NBA approaching your final year. And in the year before, your penultimate year playing basketball, you win your third straight NBA championship. Everybody's looking for a three-peat in the NBA, but then you've got one more year after that. You know, you're satisfied. You don't really think, I'm going to win four in a row. You feel pretty good about what you've done. Or winning a Stanley Cup in your second to last year of playing hockey. You feel like you've accomplished something. I can't imagine, not that his heart's not in it, but I don't think the drive and desire is still there for him like it was prior to the Masters
in April.
Definitely
not.
And maybe the word is too, and drive and desire is perfect. I would add in sacrifice. So the sacrifice that you have to have to give to be that guy. Maybe he doesn't want to do that anymore.
And you know what? If he just said after the Masters, I'm done, that would have been awesome for a lot of people.
So here are the odds. Rory is at 8-1 playing basically at home. Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson at 10-1. John Rahm, and I think this sets up perfectly for him, at 16-1. Tiger's at 18-1, but that's just because people like to bet on Tiger Woods. Justin Rose at 20-1, and then Molinari and Schauffele both at 20-1. Ricky, Cantlay, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Thomas at 25-1. I'm intrigued by Ricky here at 25-1, and I wish Justin Thomas would have played better recently. But I think Ricky and Schauffele are both nice values there at 25 and 20-1, respectively.
Nice values.
Are you going to bet on this, Randy?
Yeah, you're saying it like you're going to put
down
some money
this?
Down.
When it comes to Illinois, you going to come dabble on in the golf?
Well, that's a good call.
Probably should.
You could just do that.
I could just get
that website from you.
I mean,
you still do that?
I still dabble.
Okay.
Dabble then. I do some stuff.
The British Open is on NBC Golf Channel tomorrow morning, and it's moved from ESPN to NBC, and so they'll have it throughout the weekend. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and we're headed down the stretch with a game of Would You Rather. We welcome your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Would You Rather next on 101 ESPN. Severe thunderstorm watch in Creve Coeur until 9 p.m. I kind of think I feel warned about it.
Yeah, I think it's already happened.
Oh, warning?
Or currently happening. I mean, can we really have a watch if it's going on?
Yeah, totally.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we're watching. Yeah, it is scary.
People without power, apparently.
Really?
That's what, 20,000 people in the area.
Dang!
So
those
folks aren't listening.
Back quick, and shout out to everybody that's got to go fix that power. Thank you, and best of luck.
Hey, we want your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. You know why?
No, why?
Would you rather?
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite game of the day.
It's a pretty fun one. So there's a severe thunderstorm warning for Monroe and Southwestern.
Has it hit my house yet? I'm in St. Clair County.
Yeah, Southwestern St. Clair?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's Southwestern St. Clair has a warning until 7 p.m.
I'm just going to drive right into it.
Your Would You Rathers on 101 ESPN. Welcome to at 65780. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Guys, I'm sure in your adult life you've gone somewhere and purchased some kind of furniture that was miserable to put together.
Yes.
TV stand, dresser, whatever it may be. Would you rather have to put that together in the air conditioning or have to mow a yard all day in 100-degree heat?
I'd rather mow the lawn.
I'd rather just put the furniture together in the air conditioning.
I'll put together that crib again.
Yeah, it'll be fine. And I've already done it once, so chances are I'm going to learn from my mistakes the last time. But mowing the lawn all day in the heat, I enjoy mowing the lawn. I love the feel of it afterwards, but all day? I don't know.
Well, I get a riding mower in this scenario.
Still hot.
I'll get a little umbrella. Have some beverages with me.
Natter days.
All day. I'm going to do the air conditioning with the crib, and we'll get that taken care of.
And I can still drink during that as well.
Yes, you can.
The worst was putting together a swing set where they gave me the wrong pieces.
Oh, that'll piss you off.
Oh, big time. And so I'm trying to put it together in the dark with wrong pieces till like 1 in the morning, and then I discovered...
Have a little blackout rage, did you? A
little bit, yeah.
Is it ready, Dad? Shut up. Does it look ready? Would I be out here at 1 in the morning if it was ready?
You were there.
I know.
Would you rather start your life over right now and have a fake you continue on with your family Or
Randy's already thinking about it.
Or you lose the next 10 years with your family, but then you come back and everything's normal, but they can't tell you about what happened in that 10 years.
So I'll come back at 66 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start over too with a fake me.
Losing the 10 years is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do that.
I think my family would enjoy having a fake me around.
Isn't this the plot of Face Off?
Yeah, it kind of is.
With, face off. Good movie.
Yeah.
Underrated. Nicolas Cage does a bunch of good movies.
And Travolta was really good in that, too.
He was.
Good evil guy.
Would you rather get $10,000 or you get $50,000, but the person you hate the most in the entire world gets $100,000?
I'll take the 50.
I don't hate anybody that much.
Is it really going to make much difference if Kroenke gets another 100 grand?
Yeah,
no.
Who cares? Give me straight cash, homie.
Yep, no doubt.
It's a bottom line business.
Try explaining that to your family. I had the option for 10 or 50. I took the 10.
But you know
why
I hate John.
But I can't stand John.
Yeah,
and he would have gotten 100. Yeah.
He'd have been over here flaunting it, talking to us about his new boat. That son of a...
Did you see Michael Jordan's boat upkeep is $840,000 a week?
That can't be true.
That can't be true. $840 a week?
Yeah.
$840 what?
Grand.
That can't be right.
That's what TMZ said.
TMZ's crazy.
Almost $1 million a week.
Yeah, what's wrong
for
with
the
that?
Boat?
I gotta
He's
Google
got a couple
this.
Billion dollars.
So $52 million a year, almost, to keep it up. I mean, he's got the money, but
that's what it said. I thought it was weird too.
Would you rather have a brain freeze for 24 hours straight or horrible, like the worst toothache you've ever had for 24 hours?
Yeah, I'm going to go toothache too. Brain freeze is debilitating. I'm sure that a toothache that bad is also debilitating, but no thank you.
For people who have migraines, I want to know if a migraine hurts worse than a brain freeze.
I bet they'll say yes. Chances are.
Because a brain freeze is just
awful.
You
can kind of sleep off a migraine, can't you? Or you can at least keep it at bay if, in fact, you get into a dark room and stuff like that. From what I hear, I don't know. Knock on wood. Fortunately, I've never had a migraine.
Would you rather have everybody on the planet know the details of your finances or your love life?
I don't care. Whatever. Either one.
Yeah, finances is fine.
I'm fine with that. You can look up everything anyhow.
Yeah, right.
It's fine.
Speaking of looking up, Randy did just show me the story from TMZ, and in fact, they do say it takes $840,000 a week to keep his boat operational. Now, my guess is...
It's an $80 million yacht.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my guess is that's only if he's using it that week, right?
Probably.
Like, if he just puts it in dry storage or something, which I don't think you do that with a yacht. But, if he just has it sitting there, it doesn't take $1 million.
I don't feel like this is a sound investment.
But what
boat.
If you just
boat
have
never is
230 feet long, 8 cabins, a bar, dining room, full gym, deck, jacuzzi, state of the art audio visual system, and satellite though. Sounds nice.
Do you know what it's a good
basketball court?
Yeah, it's great.
When it's a good investment is when it doesn't matter to you. Then go ahead.
It's probably a business write-off
for
him.
They always say that the second happiest day of somebody's life is when they buy their boat.
And the third happiest is when they sell it?
The happiest.
Yeah. Oh, the number one happy. Yeah. Right.
Would you rather be eaten by a shark or a bear?
I'm getting eaten by
shark.
Either.
I'm eating a lot. Like, I'm dying, right?
Yeah, you're gone. You're done.
The bear.
Shark.
Shark's going to get over with quicker,
and
I think.
Hopefully it'll just bite me in half. I think I'm going to be dismembered by the bear.
But you're going to be drowned, too, probably.
Would you rather the shark bite you just in half and you feel it all, or you drown?
I'd rather just get bitten in half.
I think I'd rather drown.
I don't want to drown.
I don't either.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I have a fear of it.
Great job, Big Sis. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Brad Barnes, our producer. BT.
I got to be honest, it's looking kind of nasty out. Can I get a little weather report, please? Thanks, Ollie.
Ranj.
I don't care what our texters say. Vin Scully's great.
He really is. As always, Michael Ryder doing a fantastic job as our board operator today. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. We're headed towards baseball. The Dodgers and Phillies are going at it. Bottom of the second, Dodgers lead by a score of 1-0. And after this, you will probably come back to the third inning in Philly, Dodgers and Phils here on 101 ESPN. For all of us, thanks for tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Till tomorrow at 3. Good night.